about, oh, gosh, a year and a half or so ago, in hopes to be able to really just shine a light on people in our community who are rising above, making a difference, investing in others, not because they have to, not because they're told to, not because it's part of their job description, but honestly, simply just because it's the right thing to do. They're here to be North State heroes. And one thing I have found is a lot of people, when you ask them, hey, you want to come on the show for North State Heroes, they're humble. They're very quiet servants. They're the people in the background that you wouldn't typically know are making a difference or making a change, or they want to give the limelight to someone else. They want to do the quiet work, and they want others to shine. Well, tonight we have a group just like that here. You know, with everything that's been going on with COVID-19 and this pandemic over the past 3 months, our whole lives have just really been tossed up in the air, and we're just trying to find a new normal, trying to get through what the day-to-day looks like, let alone the month-to-month and what the next year is going to look like. Well, this has made a big impact with our local Shasta District Fair and Events Center. So tonight we have the gang here. We've got BJ McFarland. He's the CEO. He's going to be joining us, talking to us about all the changes that are going on over there and some good things that are coming up for the future. And then also we have Cassidy Zilliger, and she is a 4-H ambassador for all of Shasta County, and she is with us, and she's going to share her journey and how she's been involved over the last few months, maybe a few years. And then, of course, I'm Michelle Slate. I'm the host of the show. So why don't we go ahead and jump right in? We're going to talk to BJ a little bit. BJ, I honestly, with everything and all the changes, I'm not even sure where to start. So I'm going to let you kind of set the stage for what's been happening at the fair.
It's been no different than anybody else in this world at this point. It's not singled. This COVID hasn't singled any one person out. We're all in the same boat. But particularly to the fairgrounds, we're a venue that we get a lot of our income off of the events we put on throughout the year. The fair is just a portion of our income. We're state-funded. The funding has been minimal over the last several years, so we have to have that venue full. We try to keep two or three events a week just so we can and keep the fairgrounds going, and it's such a valuable asset to the community. The amount of fundraisers, weddings, sports shows, everything the community uses it for, we need to keep it up and going. So it's put quite a strain financially, not being able to have any of our events since March 11th, I think, was our last event. So it's the unknowing weighs on us, too, of when we can open again, which it's the same with, again, we're not on an island. Everybody's in the same boat.
Right.
So it's been a really big strain just because that's our business is putting on mass gatherings.
Yeah, no, that's true. So tell me, what does the day-to-day look like? So if you, March 11th, you're having your event, this is going on in the media, and we're all kind of thinking about, okay, what's it going to look like for us? I know I work with a lot of nonprofits here in our community, but not only that, you have your nonprofit arm, your friends of the fair that come in and help with your fundraising endeavors, and then you go home that night, and then what happens? It's just all dark?
No, we've kept it. Because we're hoping that we get to open it at some facet to smaller gatherings when we enter phase three. So the fairgrounds, our crew there is outstanding. The fairgrounds looks phenomenal at this point. So the lights don't go out. We're still plugging away. There's still things that need to be done. One of the things the last month or so has been the junior livestock auction sale.
Yeah, no, that's true. So, you know, good point. We're going to talk a lot about, if you're listening now and you have friends that have questions or are wondering, hey, what's going on with the junior livestock auction, give them a quick call, because in a few minutes we're going to jump right in. We're going to talk a lot about that. They're going to want to hear how they can get involved. The question has been, is it canceled? What's happening? What are we doing? So we're going to come back in just a little bit. We're going to talk with Cassidy more about that. She's going to tell us from her perspective. We're also going to talk a little bit more with BJ. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit more about the fairgrounds itself and its role in the community. So it's a mass gathering event center. Obviously, we've talked about that. But it's more than that. It's also, isn't it, where if there's a disaster, people can go.
And that's I guess just as important. We're a base for Cal Fire. Whenever there's a fire in Shasta County, we help the Cal Fire with a base camp. Myself and everybody that works there at the fairgrounds makes the best we can to help out Cal Fire, and they appreciate that, and it's a great place for them to be. Any emergency, and that's where we need to stay open, is if we can't just turn the lights off and walk away, and then hopefully it doesn't happen. If we had a fire, we just can't walk in and turn the lights back on and say, here you go.
Right.
We got to keep things maintained and in order. The emergency center is a huge part of the fairgrounds and what it does for the community.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, it was also the last fire was really the staging point where the media came out and got all their updates.
Yep.
So when they do that, is that typical, or was that just specific for that fire?
I think that's pretty typical that they'll stage there.
Okay. So not only is our fairgrounds a fun place to go, we want to go to the fair, and unfortunately this year, what's going on with that?
The fair, we had to make the hard decision a few months ago to cancel the fair, which is, again, it's a shared portion of our income, and that's a huge, huge hit that we had to take, and we understand why. We want people to be safe, but again, it still hurts that financially, it hurts severely.
Yeah, no, that's true. And then with our community, with everything stopping, it just seems so surreal to me that, you know, we're used to go, go, go. So in my life outside of here in this show, I'm involved in a lot of events and a lot of community things that happen at the fairgrounds. So it wasn't uncommon for me to be down there a couple of times a month in one fashion or another. And so all of us, we've just kind of halted, and we're wondering what's going on. But one thing that has, at least from my side also, and I think you too, BJ, and Cassidy, you can chime in about this as well, is we all still have animals. So in your private life, you're involved. So tell me a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind.
My dad and I and my wife run about 50 cows on a small ranch in Cottonwood. So life in the agriculture sector it doesn't stop or slow down. Things still need to be done. Animals still need to be fed and taken care of. So, and again, like coming to a halt, our weekend stuff, our volleyball tournaments and that kind of come to a halt, but that just gave us more time to do what we need to do on the farm, and I'm sure Cassidy's the same way. Got a lot more time to put in it on your animals.
Yeah, no, that's true. So, Cassidy, what do you have? What kind of animals do you take care of?
We have a ranch of 50 head boar goats that we raise, so year round we're constantly taking care of them and making sure they're all good on their health, and we breed them every year to have kids for the fair.
Wow, okay, so 50 boar goats, and so yourself, your whole family takes care of them? What does that look like?
Yes, our whole family takes care of them. It's a family owned business that we do.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to hear more about that, because there's not only the boar goats, but there's so much more that's involved in the junior livestock auction and prepping for it and getting ready for it. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what that felt like when you thought, hey, this isn't going to happen, and what would Plan B look like. If you're just tuning in, this is Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade, and we're right here on KCNR Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to reddingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to reddingcivic.com to learn more.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kids' kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with normal homeless pets.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Well, it is going to be a good life. We're right here with Heroes in the North State. I'm Michelle Slade. And tonight, if you're just now listening and tuning in with us, we have in our studio audience, we have B.J. McFarland. He's the CEO of the Shasta District Fair and Event Center. And then we also have a guest with us, Cassidy Zuliger, and she is a 4-H ambassador and heavily involved in 4-H. And just before the commercial break, we were talking about what is it that she raises and where's her passion and what's she doing. She was telling us that she has 50 boar goats, and my question was, so how do you take care of 50 boar goats? What does that look like on a day-to-day for you and your family?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work on our part because we're definitely year-round doing a lot of maintenance on them. And, you know, we have to deworm them every month, as well as feet and shots and everything. So it's definitely a lot of work, that it's nice to have a big family that we can all work together to get it accomplished.
So you have siblings that are involved in 4-H as well?
Yes, I have 3 other brothers.
Okay, so it's all of you do boar goats. You don't have, like, we all help with these, but then they also do something different.
Yes, we all do the same thing because it's kind of something we all, like, have a passion about.
So what made you choose? You have options when you're in 4-H. What made you choose boar goats?
Well, our place is more, like, meant for goats because we have more of a dry land that's kind of brushy. It's just meant for goats instead of, like, cattle or any other. So we just thought goats would be the best animal for our place.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you saw your property, your land, and you're utilizing it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, that's what we thought it would kind of be best for.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, a lot of people might be listening. If you're just now tuning in, we're going to talk a lot about the Junior Livestock Auction in just a moment. We're going to talk about how you can get involved in this year. Is it canceled? Is it not canceled? You've heard a lot of rumors. Giving you an opportunity before we jump right into that to call your friends who might have questions and tell them to tune in to 96.5 FM or 1460 AM, because they're not going to want to miss with this. It's going to give everyone in our community an opportunity to get involved, support some of our local FFA and 4-H students, and support our local community, because this is really a big deal. And as this conversation unfolds, I think you'll realize just how much and how important it is for all of us to be involved in agriculture. And honestly, some other things that are involved in that. And we're going to jump right into the conversation. So, BJ, for our listeners who maybe don't know, can you tell us what's the difference between 4-H and FFA?
FFA is it's your you can be an FFA from your eighth grade year if your school is has a program in the eighth grade, and then most schools are freshmen through senior year, and it's something that you take ag classes. You have to take an ag class, at least one ag class, to be an FFA in your chapter, which is your high school. And the similarities between 4-H and FFA is there's so many different avenues to learn and compete. There's speaking contests, there's judging contests, there's proficiencies. There's so many things for these kids to get involved in FFA and 4-H. That's very similar. I'll let Cassidy tell us a little in-depth on 4-H.
Yeah, so 4-H is a great program for kids of 5 to 18 years of age. It's not just ag and 4-H. They have sewing, photography, STEM, rocketry. I mean, you name it. There can be any type of project you can make out of it. So sometimes in ag, they have horse, they have market goat, bred and fed, classes for a fair for all different species. Any project that there is, you can make out of it, and anyone can become a leader if they have something that they want to come give as a project.
So, Cassidy, how long have you been involved in 4-H?
This is my seventh year of 4-H.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how old are you now?
I'm 16.
Okay. Well spoken. It's working charmingly. Is that a word? Probably not. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So in 4-H, what did you start out with boar goats, or did you ease into it?
Well, I started when I was 8 years old, and I started with poultry because I was, you know, too young to do a light or a big market project, because for a large animal to auction off a fair, you have to be 9 to 18 years of age. So I was just under that cusp, and I decided to do meat chickens. So I took a pen of 3 meat chickens to fair, and I auctioned them off.
Okay, so tell me meat chickens. That just sounds like it just rolls off your tongue. So tell the person who's never done it, what is a meat chicken?
Okay, so basically, you know, the chickens you get at the store, I basically did raise those from chicks.
Oh, okay. Well, perfect. It's exactly like it sounds.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So then this year we come around and we're like, COVID-19 just kind of threw in the towel for everyone, and you have 50 boar goats at home. And how many of those would you show?
I usually take a market goat, so the one I raise, and I usually take around 8 to 10 breeding does that I take to show at under 4-H.
Mm, okay. So then you've been 4-H and then FFA. You could stay through 4-H, it sounds like, all the way to 18, or you could stop at some point. Now, can you do this outside of your school setting? So let's say you go to a private school.
Yes, you can do it out of a school setting. Like, I don't do it through a school, so I can just do it while I'm homeschooled through a charter school.
Oh, okay. Perfect. And then do you know how you get involved in that? So you just look it up online?
Yeah, so, like, as an ambassador, I go around the community and I do some events that I encourage the community to come get involved in 4-H.
Okay, fantastic. And your siblings are how old again?
They're 11 and 14.
Okay, fantastic. Well, why don't we, I think we've given our audience enough opportunity to join us. Let's talk about what this year is going to look like. So, BJ, you get the word that the fair is canceled, and associated to the fair, we also have the 2020 Junior Livestock Auction. And so how, first of all, how are those combined? Like, how does that work?
In terms of
you have your auction happening at the same time as the fair.
Okay, and it's a tradition that's happened for, in some places, over 100 years, but the the reason that fairs were started to begin with is a showcase of agriculture.
Okay.
So the original fairs weren't for the corn dogs and the rides. They were to showcase your agriculture commodity, whether it be wool or hay or your animals, and compete against your neighbors and friends in the county to see who had the best wool or jam or anything agriculture related. So the fair still, most fairs, 90+% of them still have livestock involved in their fair settings at the county and district fairs throughout the state and throughout the country. So the animals will come in a couple days early, usually. Then the fair opens. We get the animals settled in, and then we'll start showing for the public can come and watch the shows throughout the week. And then we end the week on Saturday with a junior livestock auction.
So then everyone's there. They're bringing in about on typical, not this year, but typically in the past, how many in each category?
We roughly have 70 steers, 250 pigs, roughly 85-90 sheep, and usually about 50-60 goats in a normal year.
Right. And then I've walked around. I've seen the rabbits.
And the rabbits, we'll have rabbits. Usually have chickens. The last couple of years we haven't due to a virus that they had. But the good news that that virus is gone and we have chickens next year.
Okay, fantastic. So then what's the premise behind it? So how are the monies raised? And then where do the monies go after they're raised?
It's for the majority of people, and I'm sure Cassidy can speak up to this, as a student's, it's not a... We talk about the monetary value these kids raise these animals and go to a sale. That's not where the value's at, in my opinion, and I'm thinking a majority of the people, that's icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
It's the process that they go through of raising that animal from start to finish, whether it's a pig that you have for 3 months, a steer you have for 9 or 10 months, whatever that process is, that's the process that me, myself, I have three daughters, two of them are old enough to show. That's the process I want to see them go through, is raising that livestock.
Right. Building character.
Yeah. And our community is so good that these kids do, majority of them, and I might say all of them, I don't know, make money each year because they support those kids so much. For my daughters, for myself, I grew up through the program showing livestock. That went to my college career or my college education. That money was strictly saved for college. And I've met 60-70% of the kids that go through this program, that's their scholarship. They work their butts off, raise an animal, and they put that money towards school. And the businesses around the area, and again, our community, I might be biased, but we have one of the best communities that support our junior livestock in the whole entire state.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
The average price that we get on our animals rivals any other county fair or district fair in the state, and I just commend our community that see the value in what this does for these kids.
I've been out there and I've witnessed when someone's showing and their animal's being sold, and I watched the value go up, and I remember my very first experience thinking, you know, you could get that maybe in a grocery store or whatever, and then I quickly realized it's not about that. It's about investing in our future, investing in our youth, making a difference in our community, and you get to take some great, you know, meat home to eat with your family throughout the year.
Yeah, but even if you take an animal 1 year, the benefits of it for these kids is astronomical. If you talk to anybody in the community, I mean, these are our leaders, and it's not agriculture leaders. These are our leaders that run whatever, a cement plant, a law office. These are our leaders that they spread out. They all don't just go to agriculture. And I think a basis of their work ethic and their principle comes from raising animals.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've seen that. I've actually witnessed that. Their volunteerism is outstanding. So what they've learned in the discipline of getting up, being responsible for another life on this planet, making sure their basic needs are met, I think that just builds a really good foundation for who they are as people, individuals, employees, neighbors, friends. So let's talk a little bit more about that when we get back. We're going to take a commercial break. You are listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade. And when we come back, we're going to dive into the 2020 Junior Livestock Auction and how you can get involved and what it's going to look like this year. So we'll be back in just a moment.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local? It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years. Helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do. It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home. Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982, we're all in it together.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Well, welcome back to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade, and tonight we're talking about the 2020 Junior Livestock Auction. And here this evening we have BJ McFarland. He is our CEO of the Shasta District Fair and Event Center. And then also joining him is Cassidy. And Cassidy, she is a 4-H ambassador, Cassidy Zullinger. And her family's amazing, first of all. I just got this text. Video of them going out and talking to community members about why they should be supported during the Junior Livestock Auction, and it's them playing violins. Come on, people. Why wouldn't we want to support children who are so well-educated and well-rounded and giving so much and giving back to our community? So thank you for that. BJ, so what's new? We keep hearing rumors.
With a lot of help from countless people, countless hours, we've been given the okay to have our, it's a modified junior livestock evaluation and sale. Endless hours have gone into the planning. And again, we want to make sure it's safe for everyone. to come that in terms of the Junior Livestock Kids. Unfortunately, it is a closed event. It is not a public event, which we'll just have to eat this year and chalk it up. And that's a lot of people come to watch these kids and their animals. This year, unfortunately, you cannot. We are going to live stream it all 3 days that we're showing on Facebook. So if Shasta District Fair Facebook page, we will be live streaming the show. I don't know. What's it called on Facebook? Facebook Live. We'll be Facebook Living the shows. And then the auction is going to be live. And if you do want to participate, I would recommend you please call the office first, because we are limited on the gathering. So we are limited to not as many people as you want. So please call the office and register. We also have a great way to watch the sale and bid on the sale. If you're not comfortable coming around, is www.liveauctions.tv. You can click on there and get a username and watch the sale and bid on the animals there. We'll have a sale order up if you have one individual that you want to find and kind of see where they're going to sell at during the day on Saturday. And that sale will start at 8 a.m. on Saturday. A lot of this information can be found on our webpage, Shasta District Fair and Event Center.com. It's on the main page as well as on the Junior Livestock page.
Yeah, very easy to find and well laid out. Just a click of a button. So if I heard you correctly, I'm just going to shorten that. It's a 3-day event. It's going to be Facebook Live. You can access it through Facebook Live at the Shasta District Fair and Event Center's Facebook page, or do a live auction, www.liveauction.tv, or you're going to have a modified audience out during those days, but it's very limited.
Very, very
limited. You have to pre-register in order to make that happen.
Yep. And our number's on the webpage, but it's 378-6789, and we can get you registered.
378-6789. Well, that's a great number. How can you forget that? Can you say it out loud? Okay, so this, obviously, with everything that's been going on in our community, is no short of a miracle. And that's why we're focusing on heroes tonight, because it took a whole community coming together and some key people to make this happen. And Cassidy, you just happen to be one of them. So why don't you tell us about this? I think this is just heroes at its best.
For sure. First and foremost, I just really want to thank Wendy Johnson, Kathy Muse, BJ McFarland, the Fair Board, and of course, Dr. Karen Romstrom for everything they have done to get this on. And the Fair Supervisor, Board of Supervisors, I just really appreciate them for all they have done to get this on, because it's just, we're so fortunate to be able to have such a strong community that's worked together to get this event on, because many fairs up and down California have not had this type of event that has happened because their community's put together.
No, it's true. You're right. So we're getting updates. So I know BJ, and I've been calling him, what's happening, what's going on with the cell, or is it on, is it off? We've got gatherings that have been canceled from our governor across the board. We've had fairs that leading up to the cell, they were going to try and do it, and the night before they go, sorry, isn't going to happen. And so here we are. Well, how blessed are we to have these amazing people in our community who come together and just say, you know what, I'm going to make a difference. And so, Cassidy, your role in this, so I believe you wrote a letter.
Yes, I've written several letters. I wrote one to the Board of Supervisors and one to Karen Romstrom, just to tell them about what a 4-H'er's life is and how much effort and work they put into it day and night, and for some year-round, for the breeding projects as well as the kids who have purchased them. But it's still a lot of work all the way around for them to then just pay attention to them and the work that they have to do to get them ready for fair.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good question. So, we talk about, we wake up early, we feed them, we go to bed. There's so much in between. It's unreal, and the unknown. So what could that look like? What are different scenarios that could look like?
Well, for me, beyond the working with my goat, the cost of my project, I do a lot of research on breeding bucks across the nation. I spend a lot of my money on semen. That's usually $100 a straw. So having the fair on is just such a big deal for the breeders and that have to put all the time and sometimes in the cold, wet, and you have to sit goats in the middle of the night. That just, it's just a lot of work.
Yeah, that's true. And so on the occasion that maybe one of those sick goats don't make it, there's that whole process that you really just have to have a strong, I don't know, spirit, constitution. It's got to be happy moments, sad moments, like that whole journey before you even get to the livestock auction.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, so out of all of this, so you have, I think we were talking, BJ, there's some projects that go a couple of years, or maybe Cassidy, you were the one that said that not all projects are, oh, hey, I've had this animal for 6 months. Some of these are very long-term projects.
Yes. Yeah, we prepare for fair a year in advance, so we're breeding animals this time of year for next year's fair already. So we're definitely looking forward to that next year because it's something that we look forward to every year. And same for the beef kids. You know, they don't even have – they have a couple years before they breed for their steers the year of next year. So it's usually a year and a half before to get ready for fair.
So they're thinking, okay, we're in 20 – I'm going to do some basic math here. So 2020, and right now you're going to show and sell your animal, but you're already thinking 2021, 2022, what that's going to look like, if I'm hearing you correctly?
Yes.
Okay, wow. That is quite an investment. So you've got this project that's going long-term, and you get this news saying, hey, we've got a pandemic, and it's going to cancel. That's got to be crushing.
Yes, we had to do everything we can to get this on because it just hurts a lot of kids in the county.
So we have Wendy Johnson, and we have Kathy Muse. BJ was a big part of that. The Board of Supervisors, the fair board, they had to really just step out and say, you know what, we can't have a fair, but we're investing in our kids, and we're going to make a difference, and we're going to believe that this is going to happen. And so BJ, correct me if I'm wrong, you had to have the blessing of the board to even continue the conversation whether we're going to have a livestock sale, right?
Yes, and we are blessed that our Shasta District Fair Board they wholeheartedly, unanimously voted to try to put this on the best we could, if we could at all. And there's some other fairs around the state that just said, nope, we'll cancel everything. And our board didn't. I mean, they just see the value, like I said earlier, of what it does for these kids to get out and get their animals evaluated and go through a live sale.
You know, I saw the letters that were going around. I was luckily privy to that through the Farm Bureau. And the Shasta County Farm Bureau was also instrumental in writing a letter and sending those off to Karen as well. And to hear the heart that was put into these letters of these community members that collectively came together and said, hey, we want to really just get the passion that's in us and explain it. And how do you do that in one little sheet of paper to someone to make them make such a big decision? I think that alone, when I read the letter, I was like, yeah, that's right. That's exactly why we're here, because we're not just selling an animal to sell it. We're investing in our community, investing in the future of our youth who are going to invest in us in over the next generation. So I just thought that was remarkable. So I also want to applaud everyone involved. You guys did an amazing job. Yeah, good job. So you can't see it, but we're all clapping for each other.
The other option was to do a virtual sale, which a lot of fairs have done, which is outstanding, especially the early fairs that weren't able to. They were right in the midst of the onset of this, and that worked out great. To my opinion, my thoughts, these kids have worked this hard on these animals, and I think the mental aspect of it is going to outweigh any financial worries that we have, is getting these kids out, and there's going to be a short time, and it's not going to be the normal fair where they get to parade around a lot. But they're going to get out and get their animals evaluated, and it's going to be real quick. But at least they get to get out and show off their product of what they worked on so hard.
You know, that's absolutely correct. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, let's talk more about what that's going to look like. Let's remind everybody how they can get involved and how they can tune in and the dates and all the good stuff so we can all start spreading the word in our community. So you're watching here or listening to Heroes of the North State, and we'll be right back.
Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kid's kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our nine new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and four huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for four with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and two large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed three to four, so try all nine. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. It's Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade. And I'll tell you, the premise of the show is good people rising above, making a difference in our community, not because they have to, not because they're told to, just because it's the right thing to do. And tonight, we really have some people who are shining. And not everyone could be in the studio with us. So just to kind of put a shout out, they're very humble heroes. They actually don't want any attention. But I just love these ladies. So I just want to say a special thank you to Wendy Johnson and Kathy Muse for everything they did to make this possible. They are strong women in our community who not only rally around this project, but many other projects very quietly in the background, and most of the time you don't even know it's them. So we just want to say thank you on behalf of our community for making this 2020 Junior Livestock Auction possible, in partnership, of course, with the Board of Supervisors and Karen, and then, of course, the board out at the fairgrounds, and BJ McFarland and Cassidy. So from my heart to yours, thank you all very much. So we just got a little bit of time. So BJ, I'm going to come back to you. Tell us again. So you want to support these kids. We want to show them how much we appreciate everything that they've done and all the hard work they've put into this. And just how can people get involved again?
In a normal year, we would want you to come on down to the fair and participate live. This year we're limited on how many people because of COVID-19 who can come to the sale and buy. So we have several different ways that you can participate. Anyway, please call us at the office to register. But the on our website, www.ShastaDistrictFairAndEventCenter.com. There's several options there. There's a absentee sheet that you can fill out if you have a young showman that you have watched and want to help out. You can fill that sheet out and send it into the office there, and we'll do the bidding for you. Another way you can do it is if you have $50 or whatever the dollar figure is obsolete, but if you want to add on, you can just add on a flat fee or a flat price to each kid that you want to help out, and that sheet's on our website as well. And the last one, it's new this year, and it's because of COVID. It's a great site, though, is www.liveauctions.tv. You can log on there and watch the sale from home, which I think is going to be more valuable to some people that, you know, grandparents, brothers, sisters, somebody who can't come to the show because it'll be a closed to the public show and sale this year. You can watch the sale from liveauctions.tv as well as register to bid or to buy, and you can bid watching the sale with a click of your mouse.
You know what I love about this? So I was speaking to actually the two of you today, and you said we've went around and we've spoken to 30 different potential buyers, telling them what you're doing, how you're doing it, how they can get involved. And I've been on the other side of that where I've had people come and talk to us, and it's remarkable how articulate, first of all, you are, creative that you are to make yourself stand out amongst all the others in our community. I think the violins, I can't wait to watch all of that video that was sent to me. We'll put that up on Facebook. So My Umbrella Marketing, you'll want to click on that, and we'll have that video posted if it's okay. I put you on the spot.
Yes, that's great.
Okay, we'll get that going. But this is a great way, community, all of our listeners, a great way to get involved and support the youth in our area who are making a difference for all of us, for their families, for themselves, and then ultimately for our community as they grow and move into the workforce. So
one thing that I've left out, and it's not the biggest deal, but it does help out that this is a tax deduction. Yes. It is a nonprofit. The Friends of the Fair, the money goes through. It is a nonprofit, so we do have a nonprofit tax ID, and you can use it for tax purposes as well.
So if you've never bid before and you want to support this group of young people through 4-H and FFA, you can log on. Is it going to be pretty easy to follow, I assume?
Yes, the instructions are on the website, and it's fairly simple. And at any point, if anybody has any problems logging on, please call the office and we'll walk you through it and get you on there. Melanie's done a great job in the office, and she has it down pat of how to log on and walk you through it very easily, very quickly. If you're not 100% computer literate, she can walk you through it and get you signed up.
So tell me, what time does it start?
The sale will start at 8 a.m. Registration will start at 6:30 in the morning. So if you do call, you are coming to the sale, we'll have a packet for you. And again, unfortunately, we're limited to a certain number of people to come on the fairgrounds at this point. So it's going to be limited, but it'll be a great venue for these kids, though.
So you can log on at 6:30 on the 27th.
You'll log on at 8.
Okay.
The sale order will, as soon as the steers get done showing or getting evaluated on Friday, hopefully by 5 p.m. on Friday, we'll have the sale order. So if you're looking for particular kids that you want to bid on, the sale order will be up Friday night, hopefully by 5 or 6. Check back periodically. And on liveauctions.tv, the sale order, there'll be a link for the sale order on that as well. So you can see, you want to look through to see where individuals sell that you want to support.
Perfect. And, you know, I was just sharing during the commercial break, we bid on some items, same website, I believe, correct, as the Tehama account, or different?
Different.
Okay, different website. It was a lot of fun. Yes, it's great to be in the stands and to watch it and to see the eyes and all the camaraderie and your friend outbids you, but you get that same kind of vibe sitting on the couch or wherever you happen to be. Maybe you're irrigating or maybe you're at a baseball game, possibly. You still get that, ooh, I've been outbid feeling. We've all done eBay, so we kind of know what that looks like. Is there anything, Cassidy, maybe you'd like to share that I haven't thought to ask you, or you'd like to just contribute? And it's okay if it's no.
Well, again, I just want to say thank you to all the people who have done to put on this live show and sale, because it's truly remarkable that we have such a strong community that have worked together.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for your input as well. So, BJ, do we know how many in each class? Do you kind of have that off the top of your head?
There's going to be, right now, it's roughly 65 steers, 250 pigs, 40 goats, and 80 lambs, I believe, at the top of my head.
Yeah, no, that's good. We're just off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Good job. So you've got to be breathing a big sigh of relief that you get to do it. It's a little bit anxious at the same time.
Yep, and the same as a lot of people in the world, our community, the unknowing just weighs on you. And there was a big sigh of relief that our community did such a great job to make this happen. But then it's into go mode because a lot of things we've held off a little bit on because it was uncertain. So even a lot of our vendors, like we use for sound and our porta potties, we got to bring in extra porta potties and things like that. Short notice, the community again have been awesome to deal with. They understood and were able to make things happen in a short period of time.
Yeah, you know, I read a study last year, and sorry, people, don't quote me, but I remember the study, just not the source, that said that Shasta County was the top 7 in the nation for giving, here in Shasta County, which honestly doesn't surprise me with all of the different groups and functions that I go to and the support that I see throughout the community. It's a lot of the same, but it's also a unique pocket of people that come together to make this happen. So there's already a big buzz I keep hearing about. People can't wait for the day. They're excited. The buyers are excited that they're going to get to invest in all of you. So, you know, as an ambassador, Cassidy, for 4-H, so give us a little plug. Why should you join 4-H?
Well, 4-H is a fantastic experience. Their motto is you learn by doing, and it's just a hands-on learning that anyone can do under the age of 5 to 18 years of age. That, you know, they're leaders. It's to make leaders of the future. You know, they grow future leaders of our country.
Yeah, no, that's true. So I'm 5 years old, and I want to get involved. So what do? Go to the school office?
You can call the 4-H office, Shasta County 4-H, and the 4-H office will help you get involved.
Okay. So, and you were saying earlier, it's really not just ag-related.
It could be anything.
Sewing, cooking. Showing your boar goats. We're in beef. I met a young lady last year that has rabbits, and she was just so proud of the rabbits. I went and took a look around at just all the different types of ribbons that are given out, and just how proud everyone was taking their photos next to it. And then the buyers who really build the bond and a relationship with these students that are in 4-H and FFA. Is exceptional. So you got a lot of the same buyers that are ribbing each other on and supporting the same students, but at the same time, new people coming in. So we're going to have to wrap it up. That hour went really quick, you guys. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, and I know it's just going to be an amazing day. So just a reminder, it's live streamed. Go to you can either go to a modified auction. You want to call the office, and that number is 378-6789, or you want to do livetv.com. I'm Michelle Slade. This is Heroes of the North State. Thank you for tuning in, and happy bidding.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. It's official. President Trump's GOP convention speech will take place in Florida, not North Carolina. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
The Republican National Committee says the president will accept the party's nomination for re-election in Jacksonville, Florida. Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel announced the decision on Twitter, saying the GOP is thrilled to hold the event in Florida. Republicans will still conduct convention business in Charlotte, North Carolina, but Mr. Trump insisted on moving his speech elsewhere when the governor wouldn't guarantee a full-blown convention without social distancing measures. Greg Clugston, Washington.
As states roll back lockdowns, the coronavirus reemerges.
21 states report increases in coronavirus cases since they eased stay-at-home orders and other restrictions. An AP check finds a variety of reasons for those spikes. Texas has more than 2,100 people in the hospital with COVID-19, a surge that follows thousands flocking to beaches and water parks over the Memorial Day weekend. Arizona residents did something similar when they were allowed to leave their homes in mid-May. Experts are worried about additional spikes in the next week or so in the wake of nationwide protests following the death of George Floyd at the hands of police. I'm Tim McGuire.
Stocks fell dramatically on Thursday with the Dow down over 1,800 points and the S&P down by 5.9%. Market analyst Sam Stovall says a number of factors led to Thursday's declines on Wall Street.
We are officially in recession. We had the COVID cases start to advance, and we also had the Fed indicate that they're going to keep interest rates low until 2022. So I think that caused investors to think, what do they know that we don't?
Nearly all the companies in the S&P 500 closed lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the words money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the words money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the words money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
A major player in the poultry industry says it's cooperating with a federal price-fixing investigation.
Tyson Foods says it has conducted an internal investigation and has turned over information to the Justice Department. The Arkansas-based company served with a grand jury subpoena a couple of months ago, says it's seeking a formal grant of leniency. If granted, it would mean that neither the company nor its executives would face criminal fines or jail time. Rich Thomason reporting.
Several police officers were wounded Thursday in separate shootouts with a man suspected of ambushing and seriously injuring a deputy a day earlier. Officers have been searching for Mason James Lira, 26, since early Wednesday when he opened fire on the Paso Robles police station on California Central Coast and then shot a San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's deputy in the face. The deputy's in serious condition. The suspect is in custody. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. A European Union agency says the number of asylum applications registered in the bloc has fallen to the lowest level in at least a dozen years.
Only 8,700 people applied for asylum in April in the EU and four associated countries. Syrians, Afghanis and Iraqis figured most prominently. The total is nearly 90% down from levels seen in January and February. The agency says numbers are expected to rise slowly as restrictions lift, but it's warned of the repercussions of the coronavirus crisis on migration to Europe and elsewhere in the medium term. Economic disruption in poorer countries and related problems of hunger or social unrest might drive more people to leave.
BBC correspondent Danny Everhart reporting. Video app Zoom said it regrets that some meetings involving U.S.-based Chinese dissidents were disrupted, as meanwhile a prominent Hong Kong activist said his account was blocked despite the city's guarantees of free speech. More at townhall.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere ag and turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
and make laws. Protesters hung a banner on the East Precinct that read, "Property of the People," according to KOMO, Como, which is one of the local stations. And there are plenty of photos available. There's even a map replete with labels like Regime-Occupied Safeway. Regime-Occupied Safeway. Solid stuff, guys. Really good stuff. Now, people inside... come on. This is beyond parody. It's like the right wing made this up. Honestly, it's as though it came from the fever dream of, like... of Tom Wolfe. I mean, that's what it feels like. Activists who are claiming to have helped create the police no-go zone in Seattle are now asking for food from the outside. There's an activist who tweeted out, "The homeless people we invited took away all the food at the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone." you got rid of law and order, and then the homeless people came and took all your food. Because you're communists, and this is what happens, you stupid communists. It's just, it's delicious. It's delicious. My outrage at the destruction of law and order turned to bemusement as I watched the mayor of Seattle cave to all of this, and now it has turned to full-scale amusement as the thing turns into a predictable debacle. According to one of the anarchists over there, "We need more food to keep the area operational. Please, if possible, bring," ready for this, "vegan meat substitutes, fruits, oats, soy products, etc. Anything to help us eat." Yes, they're starving in there because they don't have the Morningstar Farms vegan breakfast products. We need those in there right now. This 18-year-old activist appears to be a transgender woman and self-described lesbian anarchist, according to her now private Twitter account. Well done, everybody. Well, I mean, this is... And so what are the authorities doing about this? You know, because there are actual businesses and, you know, people who are not crazy who live here. So what are they doing about this? Nothing. Mayor Jenny Durkin, who watched her offices taken over the other day by protesters at the behest of socialist councilwoman Shama Sawant, who's a full-scale idiot. I mean, Shama Sawant is a person who occupied Boeing and asked that Boeing stop making military materials so that they could create buses for the homeless or something like that. She's a crazy person, Shama Sawant. So Mayor Jenny Durkin tweeted out, in an effort, this is June 8th, right, so 3 days ago, in an effort to proactively de-escalate interactions between protesters and law enforcement outside the East Precinct, Chief Best and Seattle PD officers have removed barricades surrounding the East Precinct while safely securing the facility. In addition, Seattle Fire has several vehicles stationed near the precinct to ensure emerging medical needs and fires are addressed if necessary. Keeping this area safe is critical. There are approximately 500 residential homes in this block. As the chief takes this operational step, we'll continue to remain focused on what we can and must do to address the systemic inequities that continue to disproportionately impact our black residents. Ah, so you're going to just let people take over a 7-block radius in your city in order to fight inequity. Wow. Keeping demonstrations peaceful must be a joint effort between our community members and law enforcement. Now, it gets better. Okay, like the story gets better. Because it is spectacular in every possible way it is possible for this story to be spectacular. We'll bring you all of the details of the brand new secessionist country that has been established inside the United States. It's exciting, exciting stuff, guys. You're watching revolution in real time, and it is comedy. It is high comedy. Guys, this is high concept comedy right here. We're going to get to it in 1 second. First, with everything going on right now, a lot of people are asking if it's even possible to buy life insurance at all. The short answer, yes, you can indeed buy life insurance during a pandemic and during all the other stuff that's going on. If you have loved ones depending on your income, you probably should. As an insurance marketplace, Policy Genius is in contact with the life insurance companies on their platform every single day. They're keeping track of all the changes in the market so you don't have to, which means they can get you covered and for the best price. Here's how it works. Policy Genius compares quotes from the top life insurance companies in one place. It takes just a few minutes to compare quotes from the top insurers and find your best price. This doesn't just save a lot of legwork. It could save $1,500 or more per year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape for free. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they will be there to take care of everything. If you're one of the many people looking to buy life insurance right now, you're not sure where to start, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. It's super easy, it's super simple, and they will make your life complete by ensuring that you're insured against the vicissitudes of life. Policy Genius will find you the best rate, handle the process completely. Go check them out right now. PolicyGenius.com. Okay, so Fox News had a reporter on the scene yesterday explaining what was going on inside this brand new country, Chaz, the country of Chaz. It's so good. Okay, so here's the reporter from Fox News on Tucker Carlson's show last night.
A local station got video of several guards armed with assault rifles. They are asking for identification before letting people in. And police have received reports of the armed guards demanding money from some businesses inside their area. We also saw people passing out food in what they call a no-cop co-op. And they made a long list of demands. We have a full screen to show you at least some of them. Among them, abolish the Seattle Police Department and the court system, disarm all cops until they are all fired, and abolish youth jails. The mayor's office did not respond to our request for a request for information about what they plan to do next.
So they're allowing these crazies to take over. Like, this is a place where taxpayers live. So how's your whole abolish the police thing going if you're living in that area? Is it going well for you? By the way, some of the signs around the area are things like, the cops will always be racist because capitalism requires inequality. Okay, so you would imagine that there are no cops now, right? I mean, like, this is the whole point, is to get rid of the cops. Wrong you are. The cops are there. They're just not called cops. So according to Reddit, okay, people have been posting on Reddit what exactly is going on. There's a person named Raz Simone. Raz Simone is a rapper. Apparently, he has been distributing his rap mixtape to to as many people as he can. According to commenters. I'm going to read you some of the comments. Okay, you ready? This is so good. It's from a guy called Wizard of the Future over at Reddit. Raz's crew is self-appointed, heavily armed, has indicated their intention to police the area, and has engaged in the use of force. I'm unaware of any rival street force of their stature expressing the desire to hold authority in the area. The power of vacuum has apparently been filled. And then, apparently, one of the other commenters said, I only knew him from 3 years ago when he gave my staff his mixtape when he came into our work. And apparently, people are tweeting out things like, Raz is becoming the very thing people didn't want to begin with. There's a video that is out of the people working with Raz Simone in which they are confronting people who are graffitiing. Now, apparently, they only want certain places graffitied because they're certain allies and they don't want their businesses graffitied. So, weird, they want to protect the property of people who they are allied with. But I thought that private property is bad, guys. So they walk up to some people who are graffitiing. These are people who apparently work for Raz Simone, allegedly work for Raz Simone. And the exchange is just glorious. Because remember, this whole thing started about the evils of police brutality and authoritarianism. And literally, you now have an armed force of people in this Seattle communist area telling people, we are the police now, and I will blow your brains out if you resist. So police brutality went away for, like, that long, apparently. And by the way, Seattle cops aren't doing that. This is these are the woke initiates. The woke army has arrived. I want to start a GoFundMe today. Any woke white liberals who are working for mainstream media outlets, if you wish to relocate to Chaz, to the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, I will help pay your way. If you pledge that you will stay there, if that you can show evidence that you are willing to stay there for the entire duration of Chaz's existence, and you are willing to subject all of your bank accounts to the tender mercies of Chaz, I am more than willing to subsidize your immigration to this area outside the United States. And here's a little bit of the video that was released. It's about an hour long, so it's been cut down, obviously. This started with people talking. It ended with a scuffle, somebody's glasses being broken, somebody's phone being broken, and somebody being put to the ground. All of this because the police are evil, guys. Because the police are bad. So this is better, obviously. I mean, come on. We wouldn't want the anarchist situation to get chaotic or anything. We need some tyranny. So here we go.
You don't know the owner of this place? The owner that's actually being nice and letting us stay here?
Oh, God.
You forgot. We are the police of this community now.
We are the police of this community.
Oh, you got someone coming in 15 minutes?
I just said 15 minutes. Stop. You talking about 15 minutes? What the f*** you talking about? Don't be talking no threats around here, man. Don't be saying no threats. I'll blow your brains out. Don't do that.
Don't be saying no threats. I'll blow your brains out. This is all from a YouTube video that was posted by people from inside the Seattle Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. So very, very solid stuff, everybody. Just really, really good stuff. By the way, Raz Simone apparently announced that people entering ought to be stopped and frisked. Remember when stop and frisk was a bad thing? Because it was the cops, right? The cops were bad. According to the whole story, Raz Simone, a Seattle local, stated he belongs to the People's Force, a replacement for Seattle PD. On June 8th, in a live video, he advised that unfamiliar faces should be stopped, questioned, and checked to see if they are armed, which is literally the definition of stop and frisk, which is racist, right? I mean, stop and frisk is bad. We can't do it. So according to Como News, it was an unusual sight. Seattle Fire Chief Harold Scoggins working with people occupying streets in Seattle's Capitol Hills neighborhood to close two large rolling metal gates that lead into the garage of the East Precinct. The Seattle Police Department had abandoned the East Precinct 2 days earlier. After receiving threats, there would be attempts to burn it down. There are no police officers around. There are no other firemen or city personnel with Scoggins. He says, I was walking through. Someone pointed out to me the gates were not closed. They were jammed. The chains weren't working. I just wanted to secure the building. He was in the center of what's now being called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, named by the people who occupy it. I told him, this report for Como, I thought it was unusual. A fire chief was trying to secure a police precinct by himself while being surrounded by hundreds of people occupying the streets who have shown a disdain for police. He says, well, we got a team. We're working through this. There is some trust built. I don't want to compromise that trust. Raz Simone, who some have told me is one of the leaders in what many have said is a leaderless group of protesters, and look, you look around, it's peaceful. Everyone is chill. Well, except for that tape. That was not quite so chill. And that lack of an organized leadership is hampering efforts to bring some normalcy to the area and have officers return to the precinct, according to Assistant Police Chief Deanna Nolet. Nolet said her department and other city departments are trying to find the leaders of the CHAZ to negotiate a roadmap for the area's immediate future. You know what this roadmap should be? The cops never left. That would be the roadmap. By the way, they are damn lucky that Janet Reno isn't Attorney General right now. If this were a bunch of White Branch Davidians in Texas, their compound would be burned out by now, right? But now, because this is the woke initiates, we're just going to allow a 6-block radius in the center of the biggest city in Washington state to be taken over. Nolet said, while Washington is an open carry state, there's no legal right for those arms to be used to intimidate community members, because apparently they're trying to intimidate people trying to enter. She said operating a citizen checkpoint on a public street is illegal. She said we've heard anecdotally of citizens and businesses being asked to pay a fee to operate within this area. So there are reports of an actual shakedown happening inside the area. Why, it seems as though the communist-slash-anarchist takeover is not all it's cracked up to be. I don't feel like injustice is being cured, guys. I don't feel like this is going well. By the way, what is the city of Seattle doing about all of this? They've staffed porta-potties there. They've granted all the protesters porta-potties. They've put garbage cans and portable toilets in the vicinity for use by demonstrators. The demonstrators, by the way, are also showing, they put up a big movie screen, and they're showing Ava DuVernay's 13th documentary from Netflix about how the prison system is evil. And then Ava DuVernay, not having to live here, of course, she puts up a message, blessings and bravery to all the good people at Chaz tonight, onward. Anytime Ava DuVernay wants to relocate from, I'm sure, her posh estate down to the city, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone with no police protection, and if she wants to bring her bank account with her, then she is absolutely free to do so. And I very much look forward to her doing that. That sounds great. Coming up, we're going to get to the demands of the protesters slash people who just took over a swath of an American city. We'll get to what they want. They're not going to get any of it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to CNBC.com/small business.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving. At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. It is amusing to watch the demands of the people who have just taken over a swath of Seattle. Okay, so what are the demands of the protesters? So, here are their demands. They want abolition of the Seattle Police Department and the court system. Abolition of it. They deliberately say, we do not request reform. We demand abolition. We demand the defunding and abolition of the Seattle Police Department and the attached criminal justice apparatus. That means 100% of funding, including existing pensions for Seattle Police. Also, we want to disallow the operations of ICE in the city of Seattle. We demand that the use of armed force be banned entirely. No guns, no batons, no riot shields, no chemical weapons. We demand an end to the school-to-prison pipeline and the abolition of youth jails. Get kids out of prison, get cops out of schools. We demand that the new youth prison being built in Seattle currently be repurposed. We demand that not the city government nor the state government, but that the federal government launch a full-scale investigation into past and current cases of police brutality in Seattle and Washington, as well as the reopening of all closed cases reported to the Office of Police Accountability. We demand reparations for victims of police brutality in a form to be determined, so they're not actually going to explain what they mean by that. We demand that the city of Seattle make the names of officers involved in police brutality a matter of public record. We demand a retrial of all people of color currently serving a prison sentence for violent crime by a jury of their peers in the community. So, presumably this means that if you are a black person who committed a crime and now you're in jail, they want you retried, but only if you're black, and only by a black jury. We demand decriminalization of the acts of protest and amnesty for protesters generally, but specifically those involved in what has been termed the George Floyd Rebellion against the terrorist cell that previously occupied this area known as the Seattle Police Department. This includes the immediate release of all protesters currently being held in prison after the arrest made at 11th and Pine on Sunday night. We demand that the city of Seattle and state government release any prisoner currently serving time for a marijuana-related offense. We demand that they release any prisoner serving time just for resisting arrest. We demand that prisoners serving time be given full and unrestricted right to vote. We demand an end to prosecutorial immunity for police officers. We demand abolition of all imprisonment. All imprisonment, not just, so they start with youth imprisonment, and then they're like, you know what, as this goes on, I have a second thought. All imprisonment should end. No more prisons. We demand that the Seattle Police Department empty its lost and found and return property owned by denizens of the city. We demand that all the body cameras be turned on and all body camera footage be made available to the public. And they want free public housing. They also would like degentrification of Seattle starting with rent control. They want free college for everybody in the state of Washington. They want hospitals and care facilities in Seattle to employ black doctors and nurses specifically to help care for black patients. So they want resegregation of hospitals, which is a fascinating demand. We demand the people of Seattle seek out and proudly support black-owned businesses. So we have to subsidize specifically black-owned businesses. And we demand that the city of Seattle and state of Washington remove any and all monuments dedicated to historical figures of the Confederacy, et cetera, et cetera. So, well done, everybody. These are the people to whom you are catering. Coming up, we will talk about the condescension implicit from white woke liberals in greenlighting what's going on in Seattle or in greenlighting rioting and looting on the basis of racial justification. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. It's time. Businesses are starting to reopen, and we need to support our local economy. We would like to thank our sponsors that supported our station throughout this event. As we move forward, we'd like to remind our listeners to support local businesses and see them thrive again. You can make that happen by dining at your favorite restaurant and shopping at your favorite store. They have been there for us. Now it's time for us to be there for them. Shop local.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Historically oppressed minority group. So back in the 1960s, there's a piece written by Tom Wolfe, the late Tom Wolfe. Great piece called Radical Chic. And the entire piece was about Black Panthers being ushered up to this posh penthouse owned by Leonard Bernstein. And these Black Panthers were being shown off as almost totems of wokeness. They would walk around, and they would literally say to the white people at these parties, yeah, we want to off the pigs. And the white people were like, oh, my God, that's so charming, and it's so refreshing, and it's so down to earth. And it was these upper-class white liberals being protected by the cops who were out there, like, look at these amazing Black Panthers and their authenticity. It's just incredible. This is what you are getting right now from a wider segment of the population, because if you do not bow to the narrative, and America is systemically evil and racist, then obviously you're part of the problem. So you can buy your way out of woke jail by simply acknowledging your privilege, but only for the moment. Because the moment you acknowledge your privilege, then they just resurface old stuff you've said, and then they hold that over your head forever. That's the way this routine works. So there's this piece over at the Washington Post. It is called After Killing of George Floyd, White Liberals Embrace Ideas That Once Seemed Radical. Now, here's the question. Do you really think they're embracing these ideas, or do you think they are posturing for the love of their social media groups? And that when they are actually bedding down at night, they're thinking to themselves as the gunshots go off around the corner, man, I'm so glad that I've gotten woke. Like, do you think that many Americans are thinking that right now? Because, again, what we're talking about here is not white support for the Black Lives Matter notion. What we're talking about is white support, specifically in this Washington Post piece, for violence and looting. Quote, 3 days after a police officer knelt on George Floyd's neck, killing him, and only a few hours after enraged looters ransacked a Target and torched an AutoZone, Meredith Webb woke to an early morning message from a close friend across the street. Beloved city, so much pain, the text from her neighbor Michelle Garvey read. Exploding pain, replied Webb, who had seen the news and cried. Can we talk outside in a little while? Theirs was a block of mostly white liberal families tucked inside cute bungalows with carefully tended gardens and century-old shade trees. The two women met on the sidewalk where their sons, ages 5 and 7, had spent much of the last few weeks racing back and forth on their bikes and scooters. On this morning, their conversation turned to the looting and fires that had unfolded just a few miles from their homes. To Garvey, 39, the destruction of the Target and surrounding stores was sad, but understandable, quote, a perfectly warranted and justified response, an expression of righteous rage. Webb, 33, wasn't there yet. She felt a little guilty about it. I wasn't sure what side I was supposed to be on, she recalled. It felt wrong to say we're with you until you start looting. Why is that wrong? Now, the reality is that that's exactly the right message. We're with you until you start looting is exactly the right message. We agree with what you are basically saying about police brutality, even if you say, I'm with you on police brutality, I'm not with you on systemic American racism, but say whatever you want, when you start looting, it's over, man, we are done. No, you have to suggest that it is justified response, a perfectly warranted and justified response in order to be initiated into the woke crew. Has it occurred to anybody what a soft bigotry of Law Expectations this is? That when you're angry, you get to burn down a Target? But only if you're a member of a particular racial group pushing a particular racial narrative? That if Asians were angry over affirmative action policies at colleges that banned their kids from schools, and they went and burned down some local stores, do you think there would be any level of sympathy for that at all? The answer, of course, is no. It is soft bigotry of Law Expectations not to say to people you're not allowed to burn crap down and take over large swaths of cities. But according to the Washington Post, there is a change in white liberal attitudes. One liberal journalist has described it a great awakening. It seems to mirror what has happened in recent weeks in Minneapolis, where throngs of white protesters like Webb and Garvey have taken to the streets to cheer on black speakers as they blast the city's police force, attack its largely left-leaning leadership, and decry systemic racism. Webb said she turned to Garvey for solace in the wake of that first wave of looting and fires because she was sad, scared, and needed to talk with someone in person. Where does this go next, she worried. Is our neighborhood going to burn? But she also knew her friend would be a gut check. I didn't want to let myself default to the simplistic reaction of wanting this all to go away. So I guess you're not supposed to worry about the fact that there were people who are, you know, you're worried about burning down your house. I mean, I think the best part of this article, by the way, is there is part of the article where they talk about police officers. Okay, so Ilhan Omar showed up at a rally. She said that people were using taxpayer dollars to, quote, police and brutalize our young children in our schools, which is just absurd. To every single person who has remained silent and been complicit, this is the time we step up and show the world what we're made of, the congresswoman shouted. Yes, Webb replied. About a dozen black high school students shifted uneasily and waited for their time to talk. When it was their turn, they spoke about Charles Adams Jr., the African-American police officer who kept their school safe and coached their high school football team. Now they worried he was going to be forced from their school. To me, I have my dad first and second to that is Officer Adams, said one student. Officer Adams is like the father I didn't have, added another. He makes me feel like myself. Last up was a history teacher from the school. I beg you, look at these young men. They came on their own because they are worried about their safety and losing someone they consider a family member. Webb listened carefully. It's complicated, she whispered to a friend. Maybe he should be a teacher, the friend suggested. Maybe he could be brought back to the school in some other role, Webb replied. So, basically, you have a bunch of young black students. They're like, you know what? This cop, he's like a dad to me. And the white liberal woke lady, she's like, well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to stop that. Because, you know, in the name of social justice, we have to stop that. This is pure, simple nonsense. It is pure, simple nonsense. And the white woke liberal is one of the dumbest species of Americans. I mean, it's just incredibly dumb. Incredibly, incredibly dumb. And by the way, you're not buying a space in heaven, in secular heaven, for any of this. All you are doing is exacerbating a catastrophically chaotic and divisive situation in a time when we should all be unified. I keep saying this on the show. We should all be unified. Instead, what we are going to do is demand things. We're going to demand that you bow before the narrative. And the narrative, of course, is that systemic racism is endemic to the United States. If you acknowledge that, then you're no longer part of the systemic racism. But you sort of are, you know, because you're white and all of that. But if you deny it, you're for sure part of the systemic racism. Don Lemon, the very objective news anchor over at CNN, incredibly objective Don Lemon, real expert on racial issues, Don Lemon. He says it's white entitlement to deny systemic racism. It's white entitlement. Now, does he cite any statistics to demonstrate that systemic racism is the problem in the United States? He does not. But if you suggest that it is not, then obviously this is white entitlement. So when Thomas Sowell says not systemic racism, when Walter Williams says not systemic racism, when Larry Elder says not systemic racism, this is because they are white-splaining, obviously. Now, by the way, the lowest refuge of the illogical grifter is suggesting they don't have to actually debunk your argument because of who you are. That they don't actually have to come to terms with your argument because they don't like the color of your skin. In any other guise, you would recognize just how racist this is. But here is Don Lemon suggesting that he doesn't have to provide evidence for his claim because, after all, he's a black man in America who's experienced bad things, and that means that anybody who says differently on a systemic level, people are not trying to debunk claims that you on an anecdotal level have had bad experiences with the cops. People are pointing out that overall, there is no evidence that the police are disproportionately shooting black people in proportion to criminal activity. Or the police are systemically racist. Right? The evidence for this is extraordinarily scanty. But if you say that, then apparently that's white-splaining, according to Don Lemon. And so you will be made to repent. You must repent.
White men denying the existence of systemic racism, that is the essence of white entitlement. We do not need their permission or their sign-off on what we know to be true and what we have lived. That is white mansplaining. How can you solve this problem, the systemic racism that is killing people of color, if you won't even admit there is a problem?
Well, how do you solve a problem when you won't even define the problem? Because when you say systemic racism is killing people of color, that is the most vague statement I could possibly imagine. How about you name the policy that's killing people of color, or you name the person who's killing people of color, and then we can talk about it. I mean, you could literally fill in the phrase systemic racism there with bleh, bleh is killing people of color. Like, I don't know what that means. Explain to me what that means, and then I can help. But I can't help if you're just going to shout systemic racism, and then when you say, okay, what do you mean by that? Can you clarify what policy you're talking about? Oh, if you don't understand, it's because you're just white. Come on. Now, the good news is that we are living full-scale George Orwell at this point. We're literally changing terms in the dictionary. Also, we are watching the tear down of statues. And these statues are being torn down on the simple basis, not that the Confederacy was bad, which it was, and evil. We're talking about tearing down statues of Columbus. We're talking about tearing down statues of the Founding Fathers, right? This is the point is the broader destruction of American history. This is not about a Jefferson Davis statue, and it never really was, because, again, the attempts to tear down statues are not relegated to simply old Confederate monuments. Like, there's an argument that cities should take those statues down. I understand the argument. Those should be done through democratic means. But the notion that, first of all, protesters get to go and just take down statues of those, this is post-Saddam Hussein Iraq, and you're tearing down statues of Saddam. Like, again, the regime that exists is a democratic regime. In a lot of these cities, they're democratic mayors. You want to vote to get rid of this? Fine, do it. Seriously, do it. But the notion that we are supposed to watch idly as protesters tear down statues, by the way, it's kind of a dangerous thing, as we found out yesterday. Coming up, you know, George Orwell, when he wrote Animal Farm in 1984, those were supposed to be slightly parodic, and they were supposed to be slightly exaggerated. I feel like the season's writers this year on Trump the Show, they're just too on the nose. I mean, what we are watching right now is the actual redefinition of terms in the dictionary. In the dictionary. This is insane. The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to CNBC.com/small business.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving. At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices, for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the dictionary is now redefining the term racism. So we are watching the Orwellian redefinition of terms and history in real time. It's incredible. It truly is. Because instead of just making an argument with, you know, the language that we have constantly shared and arguing in terms that we all understand, instead we're just going to redefine the terms, which is a very old and very ugly trick. if you redefine terms in order to make it so that you say, well, the dictionary definition of this thing now reflects what I want it to. Yeah, you changed the dictionary 5 seconds ago. Perfect example. So Merriam-Webster had a definition of racism. Okay, their definition of racism was a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Okay, that seems like a fairly good definition.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Says something racist about white Americans, like all white Americans are bad and racist and part of a supremacist system. And if you say that, and a white person says, that sounds kind of racist to me, you're judging me on the basis of my skin, they say, right, but I'm not part of the system of power. You're part of the system of power, so I can't be racist because I'm not part of the system of power. So this is twisting the definition. I mean, this is literal Orwellian redefining of words in order to achieve a political result. The revision would not have been made without your persistence in contacting us about this problem, said Alex Chamber, the editor of Merriam-Webster. He said, we sincerely thank you for repeatedly writing in and apologize for the harm and offense we have caused in failing to address the issue sooner. I will see to it that the entry for racism is given the attention it sorely needs. Peter Sokolowski, an editor-at-large of Merriam-Webster, said in a statement, the second definition of racism expressed, first, explicit institutional bias against people because of their race, and second, a broader implicit bias that can result in an asymmetrical power structure. So now they're going to redefine racism to mean there is asymmetry in power or in outcome, and that means broader implicit bias. So again, this is now redefining the term racism to just say that inequality is racism. Okay, you're redefining the dictionary. Guys, this is too on the nose. It's too on the nose, guys. I mean, honestly, if you're going to redo 1984, you really have to, like, tone it down a little bit so it's a little more subtle. Like, having a full-on department of words to go ahead and just redefine everything according to your lines, it's a little on the nose. And meanwhile, police are allowing people to tear down statues, just allowing it. So there's a Columbus statue that was torn down by protesters. Now, you might say to yourself, what does Columbus have to do with anything? Was Columbus a member of the brutal police department? Was Columbus a Confederate? No, Columbus is bad because Columbus represents Western civilization arriving on American shores. That's why Columbus is bad. This all goes back to the rewriting of American history pushed forward by Howard Zinn. So Howard Zinn really, he begins his crappy book, A People's History of the United States, with Columbus, in which Columbus is a brutal warlord victimizing peaceful narratives. And then he says, this is a direct quote from Howard Zinn. He says, a nation, a symbol, a legal unity called the United States was formed designed to, quote, create a consensus of popular support for the rule of a new privileged leadership. So America was all about privilege in the first place. He suggests that Columbus was just Western brutality writ small. He says Columbus and his successors were not coming into an empty wilderness, but into a world where human relations were more egalitarian than in Europe, where the relations among men, women, and children in nature were more beautifully worked out than perhaps any place in the world. So the New World was really not unoccupied, which of course is true, but it was occupied, it was paradisical. It was a Rousseauian paradise, and then Columbus arrived with his evil Western civilization. And because of Western civilization, capitalist exploitation hit these shores. Now, let's be real about this. Columbus did some real bad stuff. Right? Columbus did some real bad stuff. Mostly the people working for Columbus did some real bad stuff. Columbus was more tolerant than the people who worked for him, for sure, by all available documentation. But this, you don't have to excuse Columbus's behavior to point out that the history of humanity has been conquest and imperialism, and that existed far before Columbus ever hit the shores of the United States, or hit the shores of the Western Hemisphere. That existed for a long time. The only reason to single out Columbus as particularly bad and imperialist and terrible and colonialist is because you don't like Western civilization very much. That's the real reason that people are angry at Columbus these days. And this rests on, again, the idea that you can take Columbus out of history and treat him in isolation, as opposed to the fact that human history is replete with oppression and evil and brutality. And Columbus was involved in some of those things. But it is a very good thing on net that Western civilization arrived in the New World. And by the way, the entire Howard Zinn narrative that everything was peaceful and wonderful in the New World before Columbus got there is obviously just tripe. I mean, Steven Pinker writes, contra leftist anthropologists who celebrate the noble savage, quantitative body counts, such as proportion of prehistoric skeletons with axe marks and embedded arrowheads, or the proportion of men in a contemporary foraging tribe who die at the hands of other men, suggest that pre-state societies were far more violent than our own. Now, this doesn't mean the Arawaks weren't peaceful. They were, by all available evidence. This does mean that if you're going to look at history, you actually have to look at history. The left never provides context for this sort of stuff, because if they provided context, then you might be forced to judge whether it's a good thing on average that Western civilization rose or not. By the way, claims that Columbus genocided Native Americans is not correct. The depopulation of Natives after contact with Europeans was basically the result of disease to which Natives had no immunity, in the same way that one of the reasons that Africa was originally protected in the early days from colonialism was specifically because Europeans had no immunity to many of the diseases that ran rampant in Africa. Okay, so in any case, that's just some backdrop. So there's been this effort to tear down statues of Columbus, and this is much worse, by the way, than tearing down statues of Confederate generals and soldiers. Like, I actually have some sympathy for the position that Confederate statues should be removed, because while I don't like statues being removed generally, I at least get the argument. I don't like statues being removed generally because I think that monuments to the stupidity of man are good. I think it is good that people see those statues. This is Condoleezza Rice's argument. I think it's correct. It is good that people see those statues and point to it and say there was a time in this country where people like this, slaveholder, were glorified. And thank God we've moved beyond that. But we should always remember the dark history of this country so that we can move beyond that. That seems like a reasonable argument to me. But if you are going to remove the statues, you should at least do so through law. Instead, police are just letting mobs tear down these statues. And by the way, it's damn dangerous. In Richmond, Virginia, there are some people who are attempting to pull down a statue of a Confederate soldier. I guess it's an unknown Confederate soldger. And they literally pulled it down onto the head of a protester who may die. And the protester came down and cracked the guy directly on the skull. Like, his skull was exposed. Hey, this is genius stuff. Where are the cops for this, by the way? I thought that law and order was supposed to be a thing. You want to remove... I mean, yeah. You want to remove these statues. How about you do so by, like, just going to your legislators? There are open discussions right now in Mississippi, by the way, between Democrats and Republicans about changing the state flag. Doing stuff through Democratic means is a good thing. Going and tearing down statues by yourself, not a good thing. And you know what else is not a good thing? Allowing a statue in Minneapolis that was crafted by an Italian immigrant who helped build Grand Central Station, and his son, who was given during the Great Depression as a symbol of the acceptance of Italian immigrants in Minnesota, according to Ben Domenech at the Federalist. Protesters, this isn't a protest, by the way, this is an act of vandalism, yanked down a Christopher Columbus statue outside the Minneapolis State Capitol in St. Paul yesterday. The police were warned about this like 90 minutes in advance, and they did nothing. Even if you think that Christopher Columbus' statue ought to be removed, which I do not, even if you think that that's the case, allowing protesters to just run up and tear down monuments they don't like, that's not law and order. That is not living in a civilized society. By the way, if you think it's going to stop here, it ain't. There are certain black leaders who are calling for the Washington Monument and Jefferson Memorial to be removed. Because, after all, we have to talk about the fact that they were slaveholders. And we can't put them into historical context and point out that slavery was the common lot of man throughout the 18th century. We cannot point out that the actual monuments that were built to Washington and Jefferson do not honor slavery. They honor their contributions to human freedom that have come to full fruition in the United States. Instead, we got to talk about removing statues of the founding fathers. Removing America's history is the key, because American history is bad and wrong and evil, and that's the agenda here. The agenda is not alleviating pain. It is excoriating American history and suggesting we have nothing in common but the revolution. Here are Angela Rye and other commentators suggesting that it's time for the takedown of Jefferson statues in the Washington Memorial.
American history is not all glorious, and even though I love John to death, I couldn't disagree more about George Washington. George Washington was a slave owner, and we need to call slave owners out for what they are. Whether we think they were protecting American freedom or not, he wasn't protecting my freedom. I wasn't someone who, my ancestors weren't deemed human beings to him. And so to me, I don't care if it's a George Washington statue or a Thomas Jefferson statue or a Robert E. Lee statue. They all need to come down.
They all need to come down. All of American history needs to come down. You can't see America as the story of an attempt to fulfill our founding philosophy to which America fell short. No, all of it has to come down. And so we are doing this with monuments. We are doing this with culture. We are doing this in every aspect of American life. When people signed up for the "we care about black lives and don't want to see black people killed," that was not signing up for "America is systemically evil and racist and horrible in every possible way and tear down the Washington Monument." No one signed up for this. And the media's attempt to broaden that out to a majority is going to be wildly unsuccessful. And by the way, counterproductive. Because whatever you are trying to do, you're going to need some level of unity to accomplish it. Instead, you've decided that the narrative was more important than any actual change. You want to undermine change? Make the agenda so broad that nobody agrees on it. And that's exactly what's going on right now. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Cross. Governor of Minnesota endorsed a package of sweeping police reforms after a Minneapolis officer's killing of George Floyd on Memorial Day spread the uprising in the state's largest city and across the country. GOP-led Armed Services Committee has approved a plan to have the names of Confederate figures removed from military bases.
The proposal from Senator Elizabeth Warren would remove the names from bases like Fort Bragg and Fort Hood and other Pentagon assets within 3 years. There's little doubt the provision will be matched when it's taken up by House Democrats in coming weeks.